Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. For a long time, the nuclear energy industry has focused on building smaller scale reactors as a possible tool to help combat climate change. But that sentiment might be changing. An Energy Department official recently said there's actually a strong case for building traditional large-scale nuclear plants. She pointed to Georgia Power's Vogtle plant, which is surprising because Vogtle has faced a ton of problems over several years. So today, I talk with Politico's Catherine Morehouse to understand why Vogtle could open the door for new large nuclear plants once again. It's Tuesday, May 21st.
So I was at this Nuclear Energy Institute conference and heard these comments from Julie Kozaraki, who's director of strategy at DOE's Loan Programs Office. And what she was really making a strong argument for was for building new large-scale nuclear reactors. And that really got my attention because that is just not the conversation that I've been hearing in the nuclear industry over the past several years. The industry has been really focused on small-scale reactors, in part because Vogtle was such an expensive and delayed project. And there just has always been kind of this feeling that I've understood of, we can't do something like that again. Instead, let's pivot to these new reactors that can conceivably be built more quickly and at scale. And there's just been all of this buzz around those reactors and very little buzz, I would say, around a repeat of Vogtle. And of course, we haven't seen small reactors reach the scale that people have wanted to. We haven't even seen a first small advanced reactor built in the U.S. What Kozaraki pointed out was that we can actually say that we have seen a big reactor built now, which was Vogtle Units 3 and 4. And those were the first two reactors built in the U.S. in 30 years. They came online just last year and this year, respectively. And she really made the argument that despite the difficulty of getting these reactors done, large reactors, you could argue, are actually farther along than small reactors because we actually built two in the U.S. and we haven't done that with the small scale reactors yet.
And yeah, of course, you know, as you noted, these comments are a sharp departure of kind of where the hype has been and even the government funding, which has really been focused on these small reactors, which are seen as a potential climate solution as well down the line. You mentioned that there's actual evidence now with Vogtle that maybe large scale is the place to focus. So, I mean, what exactly is she saying could be learnings from that? And also, are her comments potentially a bad reflection on like where small reactors are? Did she express concern around their status?
Yeah, so she didn't express concern necessarily around small reactors. She said, you know, these reactors certainly still have a place. But I would say she did compare the two, and it felt like there was a renewed enthusiasm for these large scale reactors. And so I think the thinking was, again, just we don't have a recent example of small reactors, and we do have an example of this big reactor. But as you noted, this has been a cautionary tale. And she really made the case that, yes, Vogtle has faced challenges. They started construction without a complete design. There were scheduling issues. There were supply chain issues. There were workforce issues. But in the process of getting that reactor built, a lot of those issues were addressed. And because of that, suddenly she sees that door as open. And that's not just coming from her. Those are coming from conversations that she's having with folks in the industry who are all of a sudden apparently coming to the loans office and saying, hey, you know, what do you think about building a large-scale reactors? So again, the argument really just is, this is the most recent product that we have finished and that it wasn't a perfect process, but that the whole case of building to scale is that the next time will be better and the next time even better. And you just need that first mover. And we now have that most recent mover with Vogtle, and we just don't have that with the small reactor industry. And that's not to say that small reactors can't also get off the ground, but it seems like the feeling is, oh, maybe large reactors first.
And I know you're saying this official, you know, has had conversations with people in the industry, so it's not like she's just going out on a limb here. But in your conversations with nuclear experts, what's been their reaction to this statement? I mean, do they see a real case for large reactors over small ones?
Yeah, I would say it's interesting. The people in the nuclear industry and people who really want to see nuclear as a climate change solution perhaps unsurprisingly, are really bullish on this idea. They say, you know, yes, absolutely to big nuclear, yes to small nuclear, yes to all of it. Let's just make it happen. And these are folks who've been really wanting this to happen for years. So it makes sense they'd be excited about this. But of course, there are enormous capital challenges and real ratepayer risks that utilities and their regulators really may not be willing to absorb. So I think that's where the real hurdle comes in. And for these large reactors in particular, it really does come down to the cost of these reactors and how much the costs tend to rise when you start building these reactors. Vogtle in total ended up going more than $20 billion over budget. So it was built, but at a high cost. And other projects have been ultimately canceled because of cost overruns. So I guess to summarize the feeling around it, I would say there's optimism from people who really want this to work for climate, grid reliability, and other reasons. But there are a tremendous number of primarily cost-related barriers that you definitely have to be clear-eyed about as well if you're thinking about the realities of achieving a next Vogtle.
Makes sense. And do we know then if DOE is actually considering giving money to build these large nuclear reactors?
In short, we don't, but I can tell you what we do know. What we do know is that they did give money to Palisades, which was shut down in 2022, and now has up to $1.5 billion in funding to help it restart, which just, I think, shows DOE's general enthusiasm for nuclear and large nuclear. But in terms of actually just funding a new large reactor from the ground up, I mean, that would conceivably be just a huge chunk of the agency's $217 billion in remaining loan authority. To get more specific, the office can't comment on what loans it is considering, but it is looking at a wide swath of nuclear projects, not necessarily large nuclear, but more improvements or possible capacity expansions to existing reactors, or again, new advanced reactors is another possible tranche of where they might give loans. But also based on conversations with people in the industry, this isn't something that we're just going to see tomorrow out of the blue. Oh, a DOE announcement that a new reactor is popping up in Kansas or in North Carolina or wherever it might be. DOE is probably not just going to give a bunch of money to start a plant from scratch. I think it sounds like there's a lot more groundwork that needs to be laid than that. But it is something that we at least know DOE and developers and utilities are open to as a possibility. And I think that does mark a real shift.
Also, two major biofuels trade groups are asking the Supreme Court to weigh in on the best legal venue to examine small refinery exemptions under the nation's biofuels blending program. Growth Energy and the Renewable Fuels Association filed a joint petition Monday to the High Court to overturn an opinion issued last year by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. It ruled that an appeals court was the appropriate venue to hear a challenge brought by oil refiners over blending exemption requests denied by EPA under the Renewable Fuel Standard. But trade groups argue the appeals court was not an appropriate venue because small refinery exemptions are nationally applicable and have nationwide scope. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch. And subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.